clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. Jesus! You've got it to believe the things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found a new Messiah. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. But every word you say today gets twisted round some other way. And they'll hurt you if they think you've lied. Nazareth, your famous son, should have stayed a great unknown. Like his father carving wood, he'd have made good. Tables, chairs, and oaken chests would have suited Jesus. But he'd have caused nobody harm, no one alarm. Listen, Jesus, do you care for your race? Don't you see we must keep in our place? We are occupied. Have you forgotten how put down we are? The crowd, for we are getting much too loud, and they'll crush us if we go too far. If we go too far,
June 16th. 2011, Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. The Obama administration is in a little bit of trouble right now, having a hard time explaining what's going on the border. And this one's really unfortunate and not really a good opportunity for politics, because it's a very serious matter. Apparently, the ATF gunwalker scandal is heated up. It's where federal ATF agents are allowed hundreds of guns. They allow hundreds of guns to walk from U.S. gun shops across the border into the hands of the Mexican drug cartel. They're allowed to do that. They're watched as it's done as part of some really bizarre and dubious investigation into gun running. And it got completely out of hand and very, very dangerous.
I don't know if this is a good idea, son. Using funk.
But, Dad, we gotta reach out to our base somehow. Besides, I love James Brown.
What will your mother think?
The border goes from coast to coast. Easy to get into here. We got intercontinental overload. Just slip under the fence. It don't make any sense.
When there's no documentation,
that's too far. And somehow or some way we're gonna find out who you are.
Sneaking in America,
trying to hide from immigration.
Sneaking in America,
across the land, across the nation.
Sneaking in America,
got to have some legislation. Admit it now, say I.
Sneak in America.
Huh. Y'all can do better than that. How about all 12 million of you join me? But you will find them anyway. 101 of those. Oh, familiar names. Like New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Detroit City.
Detroit City.
Dallas.
Dallas.
Pittsburgh, PA.
Pittsburgh, PA.
New York City.
New York City.
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Maria and Jose.
Sneaking in America.
Done good.
All right, that's George Herbert Walker and singing Sneaking in America. It's appropriate because Senator Chuck Grassley administration for answers about the policies that allow guns to walk over the Mexican border. And the other day, Grassley questioned the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and his request for information about the involvement of various agencies, including the ATF, the Justice Department, and the Department of Homeland Security. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs Border Protection have all stonewalled the administration, refusing to provide any information to the administration at all concerning this issue. And there's a move to find the president and his administration in contempt for not turning over information. Now, the sad part about this, Grassley asked about allegations that Customs and Border Protection stopped Jaime Avila, who was recently indicted as the purchaser of weapons found in the scene of a Border Patrol agent Brian Terry's murder. In both instances, Border Patrol agents allegedly found the gun runners to be in possession of multiple weapons, but they let the suspects proceed for unknown reasons. It's extremely odd. So Grassley said, no longer can this administration stand idly by and answer every question by saying that the Justice Department Inspector General is investigating. He went on to say that there's just too much at stake. U.S. agents may have been killed because of a tragically ill-advised policy. The president said a serious mistake may have been made here, but quite frankly, folks, I don't think that's going to be enough. That's not saying enough here. It sounds to me a little bit like a scandal of Iran-Contra proportions. That's what I'm getting out of this deal. GDT's in the room. Hey, good to see you. Yeah, so that's what I'm getting out of this. What Grassley and this panel want to know is who knew what and when, just like Iran-Contra. What's going on with the guns? Why are guns being allowed to be taken across the border and then subsequently used to murder border agents? What's happening here? Now, since this was first reported, in which the ATF agents told the Oversight Committee that they allowed thousands of weapons to cross into Mexico, one crucial question has been who knew what and how high up did it go. This week, for the first time, President Obama addressed the controversy. It was in an interview Tuesday evening with a Spanish language network, Univision. First he said, well, first of all, I did not authorize it. Eric Holder, the attorney general, did not authorize it. He's been very clear that our policy is to catch gun runners and put them in jail. Mr. Obama said of the controversial ATF operation called Fast and Furious, well, apparently it didn't work out that way. So Obama is denying that he knew anything about the scheme, anything about it at all. Well, if that's the case, then why is the administration stonewalling? Why is the administration not giving up details of this situation? Now, moving right along, flashback. Obama said that if the stimulus failed, that he would be a one-term president. Those were his exact words. I heard him say it during a rally in Florida. I'll go ahead and play the clip for you, and we'll discuss the matter. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Check it out.
Look, I'm at the start of my administration. One nice thing about the situation I find myself in is that I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years.
You're going to know quickly how people feel about what's happened.
That's exactly right. And you know, a year from now, I think people are going to see that we're starting to make some progress, but there's still going to be some pain out there. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope that's the case, Mr. Obama. Because your stimulus failed. But Obama's not saying that. GGT writes in the chat room, it never fails. Obama is one of the worst things to happen to this country in my lifetime. Hear, hear. GGT, I couldn't agree more. Well, Jimmy Carter's running a close second, that's for sure. But Obama said it himself. If his stimulus failed, and he said it more than once, that he would be a one-term president. And clearly the stimulus failed. If Obama had any honor at all, he would leave it at that. He would simply leave it at that. Because what we have here, folks, is a failure of leadership, a complete failure. Now, why? I mean, because I'm hearing so many folks on Facebook and Twitter who are standing up for this guy. They're saying it's not his fault. They're saying that it's President George Bush, and George Bush is responsible for this mess, and that Obama simply needs more time. That George Bush created such a colossal mess that it's going to take Obama more than 4 years to clean it up. You're right, GGT. And you too, Billy. I'll tell you what, it's a horrible mess that Obama inherited, and the blame game is clearly in play here. Clearly in play. And I, you know what? Here's the thing. This guy. Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on. this clown. It, clearly a clown. Chris Matthews stated that Obama's IQ was somewhere around 160. Yeah, he said that Obama's IQ was around 160. I wish I could find the clip of Obama. Now, how would he know that? Because I happen to know that Obama's IQ is just average. That it is around 130, which is slightly above average. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. My dog's IQ is 130. I mean, come on. I guess that's why they want to play up his IQ as being 160. How many times have we heard how brilliant this man is? We have heard that Obama is brilliant, that he's the smartest man in the room, that he is a genius, that he is so much smarter, so much, so far head and shoulders above everybody. Yeah, yeah. His IQ is around 160, according to Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews wants to go to bed with Barack Obama. That's the only thing I can glean from this situation. Not only did he have a thrill up his leg when Obama gave his speech, he had a thrill up his leg. Is Chris Matthews gay? Does anybody know? Is he married? Is he gay? Because I tell you something right now. I'm going to be honest with you right now. There's no man on earth that I would give that much due to, that much ass kissing to. I'm serious now. He's got to want to sleep with the guy. That's the only thing I can think of. He's got a thrill up his leg. He's talking about what a tremendous IQ the man has, having no real idea of how smart he is or not. Why are all these people claiming that Obama is so very brilliant? Where is this all coming from? My man Gene Simmons from KISS said he wants his vote back. And then Obama had the balls to say, if you're looking for partisan rhetoric, then I'm not your guy. When for 2 years, all we've heard is partisan rhetoric. That's all. I mean, does this guy think we're fools? Well, I'll tell you one person who's not fooled by Barack Obama. Yeah. His name is Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan is not at all fooled by Barack Hussein Obama. I'm going to tell you that right now. Check this out.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, look at the word perish, but would have everlasting life. We all preach it. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think God would give his only begotten Son for this world?
Think about it.
I want to think. Look at the world that you live in. How rotten it is. We voted for our brother, Barack. Beautiful human being with a sweet heart. And now he's an assassin. It turned him into them. You didn't hear me. It turned. It brought him to England. See? Oh, now he can stay in Buckingham Palace. Nobody stayed there. Just a few presidents. Why him? Why? See, we know this enemy. Satan deceived the whole world. Are you in the world? Have we been deceived? The greatest deceit that this world could practice is to deceive us about Jesus Christ. Because to deceive us about Jesus Christ is to keep us away from that one who comes to end this world and bring in a new and better world. No, God did not love this world. When this world started, it was doomed to be destroyed. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death came also by sin. This is your scripture. But you never were taught it right in your schools of theology. But I never graduated from college. But I met a man that taught me. And now I can teach the whole world. I've met a man named Jesus, and he opened up my eyes. I was taught by a superior mind.
And I'm not bragging. I want to share what I was taught with you so that you can go and teach others. In conclusion, the Son of Man has come. He is the Son of God. He has power over wind and rain. He has power over the forces of nature. See, America can sit down tyrants, but who will sit her down? She puts her trust in her weapons of war. She threatens the nations of the earth and has my brother calling for the assassination of Brother Muammar Gaddafi. What has he done? I can defend that man. You don't know that man. See, you're a victim of that media that's controlled by satanic forces. My poor brother, they're bombing. They said they were only going over there for humanitarian reasons. We're going to stop Gaddafi from killing his own people, and we believe that. You've been deceived. You talk about a man killing his own people when you lie to the American people saying that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. When you lie and then take innocent young men who come to serve their country and send them to die in Iraq, in Afghanistan, over lies, murderer in the White House. Say it. I will, because I have a power behind me that is bringing America to judgment as we speak. Don't be afraid. I'm talking. I have to pay a price for what I'm saying. You bomb other people's cities. You destroy their towns. They had a man in the paper, I think it's yesterday morning, looking up to the sky. Who can we arrest? The people are terrorized. Who can we arrest? They're looking up in the sky because they know they don't control tornadoes. They don't control wind. They don't control rain. They don't control snow. But the Bible says, if you read it right, he treasured up snow in the north for the day of battle. Now the snow coming down from the north. In unusual rain. In some places, 20 inches. Now the rivers are flooding the towns out. People dying. The heaviness in the atmosphere producing disease. Keep going, Allah. Keep going. See, he promised us. See, you talk Jesus, but he's in action now. He told you that there would be famine. There would be pestilence. Nation would rise against nation. There would be earthquakes in diverse places. But he said, this is just the beginning of sorrow. You heard me say in a press conference.
All right, that clown was rambling on. Although I found it to be a little amusing at first, but not anymore. Let me tell you something right now. This guy only a year ago was claiming that Barack Hussein Obama was the Messiah. That Barack Hussein Obama was the Mac of all daddies. That Barack Hussein Obama was the Messiah. Now, I'm going to play just one more clip here. Hey, Tesla, good to see you. Karen's in the house. All right, good to see you too, Karen, Tesla, Billy, GDT. Let me tell you something right now, because this is going to be continued on Monday, this talk about Louis Farrakhan and how he and Obama used to be such good buddies. But now it's all over. There's a murderer in the White House. Well, I'll go you one better. There's a socialist in the White House, Louis. And in my book, a socialist is worse than a murderer. A socialist is a serial killer. Not only does he kill people, but he kills the economy. He kills the United States of America in total. But Louis didn't always feel that way. No. Louis was kissing Obama's butt. Louis was saying that Obama was the man. Louis was saying that Obama, well, listen for yourself.
See, before he was elected, he was selected.
He was selected.
Of a group that surrounded him that knew the time. And that man was the right man at the right time. And if we backed him, this man could change the face of America in the world. Sat with Father Flager. I sat with Tavis Smiley, I sat with Brother Jeremiah E. Wright, and I said, you know, I want you to look when a ship is going into space. I said, when it's on the ground, then you hardly ever look at the ship that's carrying the astronauts, because the rocket is so big. And when it says ignition, we have liftoff. I said, what are you looking at? You're looking at the rocket. I said, but the rocket does not go into space with the shuttle. The rocket puts the shuttle in space, then drops back to the Earth. I said, some of us have to recognize what our role is. Our role was
wow.
to put him in orbit. And we come back to Earth knowing that in 4 years or 8 years, he's coming back too. So don't get bent out of shape because you feel dissed.
Did it not hurt deeply for him to be required to denounce and reject you and the Nation of Islam?
Yes. But you know, Sister Kathy, the bigger picture at that moment was Barack Obama
getting elected,
not Louis Farrakhan, not Jeremiah E. Wright. Now, when he denounced me, he was forced into that. And I got calls, we're not going to vote for him, and this is terrible what he did. I said, why are you jumping on him? He's a victim. Now, for me, I saw the bigger picture. I told all those that are with me. I said, can you say one negative thing about what?
I wonder if he sees the bigger picture now. I think Farrakhan like to select Barack Obama to go home in 2012. Because before he was elected, he was selected. And, hey, it's not all about you, Lewis. It's not all about your buddies in the Middle East, right? It seems to me that our guy, Lewis Farrakhan, is having a bit of a change of heart about Barack Hussein Obama. And Obama's hanging out, chilling in Puerto Rico, speaking in San Juan, Puerto Rico, Tuesday morning. President Obama addressed the struggles of the island territory since the recession started and linked them to those of other Americans. Who would those other Americans be? Any guesses? Well, a lot of folks are asking the same questions here and on the island. They're asking in Indiana. They're asking in California. They're asking in Texas. Obama said, how do I make sure my kids get the kind of education they need? How can I put away a little money for retirement? How can I fill up my gas tank? How can I pay my bills? By sending your socialist butt home. That's how we can do that. That'll be a good start. Well, when the president asked these questions, he offered a familiar response, saying that those problems didn't develop overnight in Puerto Rico or anywhere else. But the truth of the matter is Puerto Rico was struggling even before the recession with unemployment at 11.3% when candidate Obama visited in 2008. That rate has only climbed since then, and today Puerto Rico's unemployment is over 16%. This guy is a clown. Everything he touches turns to crap. Now picture, when the recession occurred, Puerto Rico was at 11.3%. It's over 16% now. This guy hasn't made anything any better. Now it would be a difference if he could say, well, when I visited here in 2008 in Puerto Rico, your unemployment was at 11.3%. Now it's at 7%. We're making progress. But no. America's not making progress. Puerto Rico's not making progress. The whole world is on fire. And Barack Obama is still blaming Bush. How pathetic can you get? Is it just that he is just completely and utterly incompetent? I mean, how do you continue to blame another president? And the blame game continues. Earlier this week, President Obama blamed ATMs. Yes, I know you guys have been watching the television and you know what I'm talking about. The Obama administration has blamed ATMs for high unemployment. Innovation, progress. All those things that President Obama talks so much about, investing in, I guess he's run out of Bushes to blame. He's run out of folks to blame for each and every mess we've gotten into. But now he is blaming inanimate objects. President Bush explained to NBC News that the reason companies aren't hiring, this is not a joke, is not because of his policies. It's because the economy is so automated. Yeah. This genius with 160 IQ, according to Gay Chris Matthews, He said there are some structural issues with the economy where a lot of businesses have learned to become much more efficient with a lot fewer workers. Well, you got that right. That part he had right. But here's where he went off the cliff or into the ditch, if you will. He said, you see it when you go to the bank and use an ATM. You don't go to a bank teller. Or you go to the airport and you're using a kiosk instead of checking in at the gate. What an idiot. You see, this is what Republicans are talking about and a lot of other people. The guy has never run a business. And according to my main man, Ted Nugent, Obama couldn't even run a lemonade stand. And I agree with that. Doesn't he realize that somebody has to build the ATM? Somebody has to put paper in it. Somebody has to fill it with cash. Somebody has to repair it. Somebody has to work on it constantly. For that one teller that's eliminated as a result of the ATM, 7, 8, 9, 10 other jobs are created because of it. But don't tell that to our idiot in chief, because that doesn't really matter to him. All that matters to him is blaming someone else. Somebody has to be to blame for this, and it can't be him. So this idiotic notion that America is so automated that we are losing jobs as a result of it. The blame game continues. And it's only getting worse. I was going to do a show the other day before the power went out. Internet crapped out. Everything went completely nuts. Well, we discussed Barack Obama playing the blame game. He's blaming everybody. Billy writes in the chat room, Bush wasn't a shining star, but we have come down quite a few notches since then. Karen writes, that is a surprise. He was such a supporter. He's denying helping Obama. Let me tell you something right now. Yeah, you're talking about Louis Farrakhan, I think. Let me just say this right now. There's just more and more blame to go around, and it's embarrassing. Now he's blaming everything for the bad economy except himself. Is this the guy you voted for, the leader? I mean, because you misguided people out there who voted for President Obama have got to be ever so slightly dismayed by the fact that Obama has not taken responsibility. Not at all. I mean, with a cascade of bad economic and political news. I mean, it's just knocking dude off his game, and he has no game. And so he's resorted to his 2008 style criticism of his predecessor. And even further, he has suggested that investors, consumers, and even the media are responsible for today's stalled economy. The blame game rhetoric, which pollsters say is counterproductive. But you can't help yourself because you're not a leader. You're not a leader of men, women, or anything else. You couldn't even lead your dog. It's embarrassing. President of the United States laying blame on everybody but himself. It's nearly tragic. You know, I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, I'm just running out of, I'm running out of excuses for this clown. Oh, man. All right. The blame game rhetoric came during the White House's joint press conference recently with Germany Chancellor Angela Merkel. He went on to say, it's just very important for folks to remember how close we came to complete disaster. He said, the world economy took a severe blow 2.5 years ago. And in past, and in part, that is because of a whole set of policy decisions that have been made and challenges that have been under-addressed over the course of the previous decade. Sounds like he's, it sounds like he's blaming George Bush to me. Does it sound that way to you? Merkel, whose economy has rebounded during the last visit, just gave him a blank look. That was the worst. I mean, it was a stupid speech. How can you do this? First of all, he misstates the economy when he took office because it wasn't as bad as he just said it was. And during the course of his administration, it's gotten even worse. The economy is much worse now than it was when he took office. In fact, the economies all over the United States, all over the world, are in much worse shape than they were back then. Greece had not collapsed. So many countries now are on the verge of total collapse, and many of our states are on the verge of bankruptcy. That was not so much the case in 2008. But try telling that to Barack Hussein Obama. During the Obama administration, things have gotten so much worse, folks. And I guess the only way to spin that is to just keep telling the same lie after lie after lie after lie. And pretty soon, there are folks out there who will begin to believe it. I think it was Hitler who said that, and I'm simply paraphrasing it. So, one wonders, folks, when is this all going to stop? Because the White House officials have downplayed the blame game rhetoric after polls and focus groups showed that it is increasingly disliked by swing voters. But he's still doing it. Now, the blame game rhetoric wins positive attitude from only 51% of people, according to Democratic pollster Stan Greenberg. And his research shows that speeches which contain messages of shared growth and shared burdens of investment and opportunity score above 60%. Now, quite frankly, I don't believe in shared sacrifices. I mean, I think shared sacrifice may be, you know, in my own home. But I'm not sharing sacrifice with anybody else. I mean, unless the United States is engaged in a war of World War II style proportions, there's not going to be any shared sacrificing going on. But with this administration, with signs of a severe economic downfall, which emerged more than 2 years ago, just a little more than 2 years ago, then candidate Barack Obama was quick to point a finger at Bush. And then 17 months into his administration, the message was the same. And the Republicans and most of America is saying it's time for him to drop the Bush bashing and take ownership of the problem. He is supposed to be the leader of the free world, for God's sake. I mean, really? Come on. You're the leader of the free world. You're the president of the United States. Take ownership of the problem. Be the man. Be the leader. Instead of blaming everybody else. It's embarrassing. And I can't speak to this enough. Because quite frankly, it's really getting on my nerves because it's embarrassing. He's the president of the United States. How does he continue to get away with this? Continually blaming the other guy. The guy who's no longer in the job anymore. If you or I did that at our places of business, we'd be gone by now. Why is this guy getting away with murder? He is getting away with all sorts of bizarre behaviors. And nobody's calling him on it. One has to wonder why. How is he getting away with it? Is it because he's black and nobody wants to call him out? Is he a black man? That's it, right? Barack Hussein Obama is black and nobody wants to call him out for being incompetent. Because that would be racist. Is racist. I'd be called out as a racist if I called out Barack Hussein Obama. Me, a self-hating black man who can't stand to see another black man move up like George and Wheezy. So can you imagine if you're not black? And you call out Barack Hussein Obama for being incompetent. First thing the media is going to say is you're a racist, white man. But the guy is clearly a disaster. America has not gotten any better. The world has not gotten any better. The whole world is on fire, and folks are concerned about Anthony Weiner. Weiner resigned today, finally. A Republican who did something similar a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, he was gone the next day. It took Weiner 3 weeks. Finally, he left, and I'm glad he's gone. Because Weiner was a jerk. I mean, a complete and utter Weiner. But Obama says that Weiner will bounce back. I don't know if there's a pun in there or not. But Obama says that Weiner... Weiner will bounce back. Yes. Jones is... black as the ace of spades. Well, not quite. But I tell you what, don't go around saying that Obama is black, because if you do, you're a racist. Don't say he's incompetent, because if you do, you're a racist. Yep. Oh, I just got to go ahead and play this next clip. You just got to hear it. Because it just kind of goes to what we were talking about earlier today. Barack Obama and Louis Farrakhan and how great they were together. What a great team. He sat with Father Flager, he sat with this guy, he sat with that guy, and they were all just great, and it was all good. and everybody was happy, and it was beautiful. And now it's all gone to hell. It's all gone. And it's sad. Because they were such good friends until Obama started killing folks. I find it to be a tragic situation. I find it to be a sad state of affairs. Because now Louis Farrakhan and Barack Obama are no longer friends because Barack Obama has turned whitey. Obama is now the man. Obama is a turncoat. Obama has stepped it up and he has turned white. And I'll tell you what, he didn't do it all alone. We did it to him, y'all. We did it. We turned Obama into the president of the United States. Oh, my goodness. Hold on a minute.
And now today's Ebonics language lesson. Meeting girls. My, you're a lovely young lady.
Damn, you's a fine mother.
Damn, you's a fine mother. Let's go for a ride, shall we?
Hey, baby, jump in my low rider. Let's rotate these tires.
Hey, baby, let's jump in my low rider and let's rotate these tires. You are beautiful. I would like to make love to you.
Damn, bitch, you stupid fly. Let me pull up to that bumper and smack that monkey.
Damn, bitch, you stupid fly. Let me pull up to your bumper and smack that monkey. Greeting, old friends. Hello, sir.
What up, dog?
What up, dog? May I borrow some money?
Hey, let me hold some ends. I hit you back on the first, my brother.
Hey, let me hold some ends. I will hit you back on the first, my brother. You don't have it? Thanks anyway.
F*** you.
F*** you. Making new friends. Hello, sir.
What up?
What up? I admire your fashionable running shoes.
Drop them Nikes off your ass before I blast you, motherfucker.
Drop them Nikes off your ass before I blast you, motherfucker. I used to be a stuck-up white boy, faking the funk. Bump that. I ain't bullshitting on Front Street no more, thanks to the Wake Up Crew's Ebonics Language Lesson.
Available in a hood near you.
Obama has turned white, according to Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan says that Barack Hussein Obama is a murderer. And that America has steered us all wrong. And America has turned Barack Obama into a white man, a white president. It's a sad state of affairs, folks. Because now the president of the United States no longer has Louis Farrakhan in his corner. Barack Obama no longer has Louis Farrakhan to lean on. Because Louis thought that Barack Obama was the Messiah. They were buddies for life. When the Messiah speaks, you'll know that he's the one. Well, apparently that's not the case anymore. And right now, I'm starting to feel sad for Anthony Weiner and Louis Farrakhan. Because Louis Farrakhan thought that he had it all. He had the Messiah in one hand and a Quran in the other. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. I got to check out a little bit early. I got some things to do. But I do appreciate you listening and coming in tonight. I appreciate you, Billy, Karen, Tesler, and everybody who's listening on your computers or PDAs or iPads. Thank you for coming in tonight. Thank you, GGT. I will be up tonight to listen to your show. Thank you, Billy. Thanks, everybody, for coming in tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll be up later on tonight for the other shows. Folks, please stay tuned for GGT and Cool Mike on at 11:30 tonight. Once again, I appreciate everybody coming in. I appreciate you listening. And I don't know. The whole world's going crazy. And I guess the old saying is, may we live in interesting times. I don't know how interesting these times are, but I can tell you, they sure are crazy. I'm very deeply concerned for this country, and even more so I'm concerned for the whole world. And I wonder if we can just reset this situation. Could we start again? Thank you so much for being here. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Hope y'all have a good night, and I'll catch you at the GGT and Cool Mike show at 11:30 tonight.
I've been living to see you, dying to see you, but it shouldn't be like this. This was unexpected. What do I do now? Could we start again, please? I've been very hopeful so far. Now, for the first time, I think we're going wrong. Hurry up and tell me, this is just a dream, or could we start again, please?
I think you've made your point now. You've even gone a bit too far to get the message home. Before it gets too frightening, we ought to call a halt. So could we start again, please?
I've been living to see you, dying to see you, but it shouldn't be like this was unexpected. What do I do now? Could we start again, please?
Could we start again?
I think you've made your